Hi, everyone, and welcome to the AUKUS Women of Grace, Faith, and Courage Bible Study. My goodness, ladies. What a month. This has really been just a whirlwind of a season. As you all know, I recently got married about a month ago and just stepped right into it by the grace of God. And at some point, I will share a little bit more about just the story. It's a God story. It's just a testament and a testimony of God's faithfulness, and also just truly that God's timing is perfect. His timing is everything. So this month we're going to talk about miracles. And when I was on honeymoon on my way, I love the Lord because He speaks to us wherever, using whatever, however. So I was on a flight with my husband to Puerto Rico for a honeymoon, and the Lord just began to just, and I was just being quiet and prayerful, and God just began to just speak to me as I was actually reading Acts 3. And He just began to really speak to me about miracles. And I shared something previously about how the Lord really, really desires to do miracles with and through His people. Miracles are still Jesus is still in the business, thank you, Holy Spirit, of performing miracles in, with, and through His people, those who believe and have a desire to operate in the miraculous and that are filled with the Holy Spirit. We can operate in miracles by way of the Holy Spirit. And so let's just open up in a brief word of prayer, and then we're going to just talk briefly about what a miracle is. And then we're going to get into the revelation that the Lord shared with me through Acts 3. And again, God is just, He really was speaking to me. And I shared this with you before, ladies. God wants us, He wants to take us to new levels in our faith. He wants to challenge us to rise to new levels in our faith. We are doing the Lord a disservice when we have limited expectation as to what God can do in our lives. According to Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him who believes. All we have to do is believe it, seek the Lord for it, and watch God in His time manifest His power through His people. I mean, I am praying. I am seeking the Lord. I'm fasting. I just desire for the Lord to do miraculous in my life. And I've just seen Him begin to do miracles in my finances, in my husband's finances. I've seen Him do miracles in other ways. And I believe that we are going to see miracles because my husband and I, we are fasting, we're praying, we're believing, we're seeking the Lord, we're crying out, we're really just operating in a different level of belief. Like we know that Jesus Christ, oh, hallelujah, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Let's just open up. I'm excited because we serve a miracle working God. We read these miraculous stories in the Bible, and it's supposed to stir our hearts. It's supposed to see again that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means He's the same God, right? Who was performing miracles 2000 years ago. He's still doing it to this day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just honor you. Oh my goodness, God, we worship you. We bless your name. We magnify you, Lord. It is just, it's amazing, God, what you're doing in this hour. It's amazing what you desire to do in, with, and through your people. God, I pray, God, that we would truly just submit to your will. God, I pray that you would just take us to new levels of faith, God. Increase our belief, God. If there's any area of unbelief, God, we cry out like the father of the demon-possessed boy did in Mark 9, God. We say, I believe, but help my unbelief, God. So I thank you for what you are doing right now, God. And I pray that you would just minister to us even through this time of sharing revelation that you gave me through Acts 3, God, just as we walk through it at a high level, Lord, just allowing you to really speak to us through this passage, God. Acts is just so power-packed. It's the birth of the church. It's the fulfillment of the promise of the Holy Spirit. God, so we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. So we just bless you, God. We magnify you. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. 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 All right, ladies. So let's look at what a miracle is defined as. So a miracle is defined as an event that involves the direct and powerful action of God, transcending the ordinary laws of nature and defying common expectations of behavior. In other words, a miracle is something that is humanly impossible. So in Matthew 19:26, Jesus said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Another scripture that I quoted was from Mark 9, verse 23. And this is when the Lord kind of rebukes rebukes the father of the demon possessed boy when he says, if you can help us, have compassion on us, if you can help us, help us. And the Lord said, if, you know, all things are possible to him who believes. And so miracles are extraordinary occurrences that can only be attributed to the supernatural work of God and demonstrate his involvement in human history. So in all four gospels, most of us know miracles play a critical role in Jesus' ministry, right? He healed, he delivered, he touched, he ministered, he taught. Everywhere he went, people followed. Everywhere he went, the multitude followed. He healed the multitude at all times, every time. But of course, we also know he had the moments where he pulled away from the crowd and he retreated. Or he sought the Lord in prayer. He had a moment, right? So we also know that he did have quiet moments, and he did have moments of solitude where he prayed and was one with the Father. So in the four gospels, as it says, miracles play a critical role. In the New Testament, Jesus performed countless miracles, right? But he also gave his disciples authority to perform miracles as well, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. So as a Christian and true follower of Christ, we also, by way of the Holy Spirit, we have power and authority to perform miracles and cast out demons only in the name of Jesus, right? We cannot do anything on our own. We have no dunamis power, right? Which is the Greek word for power. We have no power without invoking the name of the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. So when we look at the book of Acts, as we know, is the birth of the church. So this is where we see, again, the promise fulfilled, where in Acts 1, the Lord really prompts them to wait on the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of different theories and different, positions that people have, like, oh, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not demonstrated by evidence of tongues, this and that. I mean, believers, especially theologians, have different viewpoints on the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, but the Bible always wins. The Bible has precedence. In the Bible, when the day of Pentecost came and when the rushing mighty wind came, it says that there appeared unto them that were in the upper room cloven tongues of fire. So this was the promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And it was evident that the Holy Ghost was upon them by the tongues that they began to speak in. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This is Acts 1, 2, 4. I'm just kind of getting us to chapter 3. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this is the Bible, right, telling us that when the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the gift of the Holy Ghost came upon the people that were in that room, it was evident that they were speaking in tongues. That was a demonstration of the Holy Ghost, right? So again, we can have debates with people, but we can't debate the word of the Lord. And that's just that. I mean, the word of the Lord is that. So those that were in the upper room with the disciples, there were women, there was the disciples, and there were women as well. And so it's the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is a gift. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit is a gift. So I'll start there. And I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and received the gift of the Holy Ghost and started just bursting out in tongues about a year and a half ago. That was a gift because it says in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. As believers, we need power. We need the Holy Ghost power to do the things that God is calling us to do. So when we talk about miracles, miracles are only performed by way of the Holy Spirit, right? We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where the power comes from. So again, people will debate you on these things, but nobody can debate the Bible. This is what the Bible says. So I defer to the word of the Lord. I defer to the word of God. And so this is when the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost. And this is when in chapter 2, Peter stands up. And now Peter, who was once denying Jesus, right, 3 times, right, he now is filled with the Holy Ghost. And there's a boldness that comes upon Peter. And he begins to preach. He begins to preach to the people. And it says that the people were, that people's hearts were pricked, right? When they heard Peter preach, they asked them, what should they do? In other words, what should they do in order to be saved? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit are used interchangeably. It's the same thing. So you should receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is a gift. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When our children to be filled with the Holy Spirit, there's power. So the Bible says we need power to walk out the things that God has given us. We need power to operate in the miraculous. There's no way we could do that without being filled with the Holy Spirit. So it takes us to Acts 3. And again, I just kind of just walked us through at 1 and 2 at a very, very high level. If you've not read Acts, and if you haven't read Acts 1 and 2 to take you to 3, please do so. If you haven't read the book of Acts in its entirety, please do so. It is a powerful, powerful book. It will stir your heart. It most certainly, glory to God, it most certainly, certainly, certainly has stirred mine. And so, all right, we get to Acts 3. Acts 3 now is when Peter and John, they're actually going up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man who was lame, right, which means he was unable to walk, from his mother's womb. So lame his entire life. He was carried. They laid him daily. So people laid this lame man. This is blowing my mind. When I started reading this, I was like, okay, wait a minute, Lord. People were that committed to laying this man daily at the gate called Beautiful so that he could ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So alms is essentially, he asked them for food or for money, right? So it will be the equivalent of us being at a traffic light and us seeing a homeless person with the sign that says, need money, need food, right? Same thing. And so it says that the lame man seeing Peter and John, it's so amazing. This is so beautiful. The lame man seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, he said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, glory to God, but such as I have, give I thee, or such as I have, I give you, right? In the name, hey, we talked about this, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Let's pause right there. We have a number of things happening. First of all, we have people committed to actually carrying this lame man and laying him at this gate every single day so that he could ask of alms. And he's actually laying at the gate of the temple so that he could ask of alms of them that entered into the temple daily. So we see that one, this particular man, this lame man, lame his whole entire life. Isn't the Lord good? Lame his whole entire life. He is divinely, glory to God, he's being divinely positioned to encounter Peter and John on this particular day because of the commitment of somebody who is carrying him, these people that are carrying him to this gate or the gate of the temple daily so that he could ask of alms. And on this particular day, this was such a divine appointment. The Lord, there's nothing that happens in our lives that happens by chance. There's no, and that's good or bad. There's no such thing as coincidence. The things that are happening in our life that have happened, that will happen, they do not catch the sovereign God, our sovereign King, who is high and lifted up. They do not catch him by surprise. Divine appointments are real. Divine orchestrations are real. God's hand, oh, I want to say this twice. God's hand is in everything. Even when it doesn't feel like it, even when it's like, oh, this is not good, God's hand is in everything. Even the enemy has to submit to God. The enemy cannot do anything that the Lord does not allow. Doesn't mean that he causes it, but the enemy, according to Job, if you know the story of Job, the enemy cannot do anything that the Lord does not allow. So I don't know why the Holy Spirit is having me share that, but let's go back to the story. So powerful. So he happens to be positioned now this particular day. He's there daily, but this particular day, he sees Peter and John. And this particular day, Peter and John, they're filled with the Holy Ghost, right? So Peter is bold. Peter is stirred up. Peter has power. Peter has just preached, right? Peter has preached and he saw thousands, right? He saw thousands saved. 3,000 souls were saved in Acts chapter 2 after Peter preached that sermon and preached repentance. So now they're coming to this place and Peter sees him and he looks at him. And I know that when he looks at this lame man, the lame man is thinking that they're getting ready to give him some food or some money, because it says, he told the lame man, he said, look on us. In other words, look at us. And it says that he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. There was an expectation, right? And that expectation gave way. The Lord began to show me that when we are being positioned for miracles, even the recipient, there's an expectation that both the person that we're healing and we, this is faith, right? That we have to have that God's going to do something. God is getting ready to do it. And if he doesn't do it, then we don't have to question it. Then it wasn't the will of the Lord in that moment. For whatever reason, we can go before the Lord and we can seek the Lord. We can ask him why he didn't heal that person. But there still should always be an expectation. When we're operating in the miraculous, there should be an expectation. There should be faith. The recipient of the miracle, meaning the person who wants to be healed or delivered, they have to be desiring it by faith. The person who is getting ready to do the healing, we have to have an expectation, glory to God, that God is going to heal and deliver them. And if he does it, we don't take it personally, because the Lord's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, right? So we can ask the Lord, and in his grace, he can ask, he can answer us as to why he didn't heal that person. But there was an expectation. The lame man had an expectation. He looked upon them expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, oh no, I don't have silver and gold, because that's what he really wanted. See, I love the Lord, because he knew that he was sitting at this lame man. He knew that the lame man wanted food and he wanted silver and gold. He wanted something else. But yet the Lord said, I'm going to do you something even better. I'm going to give you one that's even better. He sends Peter and John strategically or divinely to encounter this lame man. And Peter tells him, I don't have any silver and gold, but what I have, I'm going to give you. And what he had, oh my goodness, what he had was the power and the authority in the name of Jesus to heal this man who was lame from his mother's womb. Can I just encourage someone on today? It doesn't matter how long you may have been in a circumstance, or about Sunday. It doesn't matter how long you may have been going in circles. It doesn't matter how long you may have been tormented, may have been afflicted in your body. Glory to God. It doesn't matter if they say that it's a generational disease. It's something that your mother had that you're going to have. I don't care what any, I respect doctors. I respect medical scientific evidence, all of that, got all of that, understand all of that, but nothing supersedes the power, the miracle working power of our Lord and Savior. He can heal and deliver by faith, right? So he tells him, I don't have any of that for you, but what I have, is the healing of your body and the healing or the ability for you to walk by way of the Holy Spirit or in the name of Jesus. He says, rise up and walk. And what happens? It says he took him, meaning Peter took the lame man by the right hand. Oh, lady, somebody should shout. He lifted the lame man up and immediately, hallelujah, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, he stood and he walked and he entered with them into the temple and he was walking and he was leaping and he was praising God. See, he was positioned there for one thing. And yet he received a miraculous healing on that day because he was divinely positioned, because Peter and John were where they were supposed to be, and because the Lord had already orchestrated everything. Oh my goodness, glory to God. It was already aligned. It was already supposed to flow in the way that it had. And so it all, and Peter and John, they seized the moment. Peter seized the moment. There are some things, oh my goodness, hallelujah. There are some opportunities that we are going to encounter And we're going to have to be able to discern and be able to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit saying, this is that moment. This is the moment for you to step into the miraculous. This is the moment. And I'm ministering to myself, to you also, sisters. This is the moment for you to step into the miraculous. This is the moment for you to lay hands and heal. This is the moment for you to prophesy. This is the moment for you to cast out that demon. This is the moment that you have been praying and fasting for glory. This is the moment that you have been rebasa. This is the moment you've been seeking. This is the moment you've been crying out to me for. So by faith, we have to step into it. By faith, Peter stepped into it. He said, listen, let me give you what I got. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So when we think about the homeless people that we see right on the street, instead of us looking down on them and putting our heads down, we don't want to give them money. We don't want to be bothered. Let's be reminded of the opera. Oh my goodness, I want to run. And let's be reminded of the opportunity that we have to demonstrate the power of God in their lives. In the name of, let's be reminded that we can roll that window down and we can say, listen, I don't have any money. Or if you do have, we do have some money, give them the money, but also say, listen, I want to pray with you. What can I be praying with you about? Can I lay hands on you? Are you struggling to sleep? I mean, just what can I be praying? And we just begin to pray and say in the name of and call on the name of Jesus, right? And if they say, listen, I'm struggling to breathe, I'm struggling to sleep, whatever it is, or if we see them limping, let's begin to, like, whatever we need to do, let's seize the moment. Let's not let the day-to-day moments where God can demonstrate his power through us pass us by. See, because we're always trying to go to the next thing. The next thing, the next thing, the next thing. That's our problem. We want the Lord to do miracles through us. We want God to show himself mighty, but yet we're not sensitive. And when the Lord does tell us to do something, we don't hearken unto his voice. We have to not just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but we have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. So as soon, amen, amen. I'm speaking to myself too, ladies. So I am being ministered to, and I love the Lord so much for this, because this is what my heart's cry is to operate in the healing power. And I know I have the gift. And so I'm just waiting. I'm just like, Lord, by faith, I need to just step into it. And so he immediately, the lame man, first of all, everybody is like, wait a minute, hold on. He's been lame from his mother's womb. I love how the Bible is specific to let us know he wasn't just lame. He has been lame his entire life. So the fact that he immediately received strength when they called upon the name of Jesus. So when they say in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. See, when we invoke the name of Jesus, see, situations change. When we invoke the name of Jesus, see, healing is released. When we invoke the name of Jesus, the atmosphere shifts. When we invoke the name of Jesus, demons tremble at the mention of his name. And so he gets up, he's praising God. And see, let's pause there. When miracles happen, it is always a good thing. For one, if the miracles are happening to us, meaning the Lord miraculously does something, we ought to praise God. That's it. That was his response. Now, it doesn't even say he knew the Lord. It just says he sat at the temple, but it says in the word that he began walking and leaping and praising God. When God does a miracle in our lives, we should praise him. When God does a miracle through us, we should praise him, right? Okay. And so all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew. They said, wait a minute, that's the lame man from the gate of you. That's the lame man that we carry. I don't know that this is the people that carried him, but I'm just thinking, right? Because it doesn't say, but that's the lame man that we have seen carried, or that we may have helped carry to the gate of the temple every single day. Oh my, he's talking about determined. He was determined to get alms, but yet his persistence in his determination and even just that request and that begging and that desire to have alms and to really, it still set him up to be a recipient of a miracle. And everybody saw it, and it says they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. They knew that a miracle had been performed. They knew he was lame. They had seen him day in and day. Oh, this is how the Lord does things. See, when the Lord heals, it's a miraculous thing. It's an instant thing. It is amazing. And in some cases, it's not instant. I've heard of other cases where it happened over time where the Lord healed, right? But in most cases, when we invoke the name of Jesus, the Lord will touch, heal, and deliver. And again, there are some instances, I want to give this disclaimer, we are not Jesus. So when we invoke the name of Jesus and the person is not healed or delivered, that is not something for us to take personal. It might be a number of things that have not allowed the person to be healed. It could be It could be a number of things, right? It could be the lack of faith on their end, on our end. It could be a number of things. It could be like, it just could be a number of things. So we can seek the Lord about it. If healing does not occur when we have invoked the name of Jesus and we have laid hands and we have done what we were supposed to do, we have faith and expectation, we can go to the Lord and we can cry out. We can say, Lord, but why weren't they healed? And in the Lord's grace, he may answer us, and he may not, because he's the Lord. So he doesn't owe us any explanation. He is high and lifted up, right? He's the Lord. And so all we would do is we would say, Lord, I know by faith that I stepped out, but they weren't healed. So please share with me or show me what I need to do differently next time. And again, the Lord is gracious. So he will likely respond to us. And if he doesn't, we still submit to the Lord. We still say, thank you, God, for allowing me to step out and try to even do the miracle by faith, Lord. And next time, God, I believe you'll heal it. Like, I won't be discouraged. We won't be discouraged if we don't see the healing happening. And so again, people were amazed. And so Peter sees the people in amazement. And they kind of ran up to him. They were wondering. And see, this is where it gets good. So when we see, let me say it differently. If and when the Lord does miracles through us, it is important for us to know that it was not us in our flesh that did anything for the recipient of the miracle. See, because it is very easy for us in our flesh to become I am looking for the right word, for us to somehow attribute, thank you, Holy Spirit, the miracle working power to something that we did. We are nothing apart from Jesus Christ. We could do nothing. And when we're talking about miracles, we have no power without the Holy Spirit. And miracles are done in the name of Jesus. So it is not anything that we are simply vessels. We are vessels that the Lord can use to demonstrate and manifest his power. So it is important for us to know that for those of us who will operate in the miraculous, or are operating in the miraculous, or have a desire to operate in miraculous, it is not us that is healing or delivering or casting out demons. It is not us. It is not us. It is not us. So we want to be very, very careful, because it's easy for any of us to start doing miracles and then we're like, oh yeah, I'm a miracle worker. No, 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 no. Jesus is the great deliverer. Jesus is the great physician. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It is not us. It is not Miss April. It is not Sister So-and-so. It's not any of us. It's not. It's Jesus. It's the Lord that works through us by way of the Holy Spirit. And so Peter nips this right in the bud, because he sees that the people are wondering or in awe and amazement at what has happened. So Peter uses it as an opportunity to point people to Christ. This is another thing the Lord showed me about miracles. When he starts to do miracles with and through us, we must point people to Jesus Christ. It goes back to what I just said. We cannot get high-minded and big-headed. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's those words I was looking for before. We cannot get high-minded and big-headed and walking around like, yeah, I'm a miracle worker. No, no, no. Let me tell you, God resisteth the proud, right? He gives grace to the humble. He will humble us real quick. So let us thank the Lord. Let us make sure we give glory to God. But first, let's point people to Jesus. No, it wasn't me that did it. It was Jesus who healed you. It's Jesus who desires relationship with you, right? It's Jesus who wants to be, reign in your life. It's Jesus who wants to be your Lord and Savior. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. We have no name. We have no face. Not when it comes to the things of God and the work in the kingdom of God. We are nameless, faceless, yielded vessels, right? That's it. So I think as soon as we get to the place where we want to make a name for ourselves is a dangerous place for us to get. It is the sooner I think that the Lord will humble us. We do not want to be in a place. And this is even when we're doing things in ministry. And this is my prayer. I'm like, Lord, please keep me humble. Please keep me humble. Please don't let me. Miracles I'm going to do. I believe that by faith, but please, 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 please keep me. Please keep me humble. And so it says, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. He said, you men of Israel, why marvel at this, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac
and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, right? You denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, here we go, it goes back to the name of Jesus. Miracles are only done in the name of Jesus. Demons are cast out in the name of Jesus, right? So only in the name of Jesus, not in my name, not in anybody else's name, not in the name of Allah, not in anybody else's name, only in the name of Jesus. So he says, and his name through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yeah, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So he is telling them or admonishing them, do not stand in awe as though we did something. We did nothing in our own power. We didn't do this. We didn't do this in our own power or holiness. We didn't make this man walk. But he uses this as an opportunity to preach to them, to minister to them about the just, the Holy One, the one that they delivered up, right? To Pilate, right? The one that they killed, right? The one that they crucified and that God raised from the dead. He uses it as an opportunity. And as the verses go on, I read a few more. And he says, in 19, it says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He uses this miracle, my goodness, this miracle was an opportunity for Peter to point people to Jesus Christ. It was an opportunity for Peter to minister repentance, to offer people the gift of repentance, to offer them an opportunity not to just marvel at what they saw Jesus do, but to actually know Jesus Christ, to actually be come into the fold, come into the kingdom of God. Repent so that your sins may be blotted out. He used this miracle. It is important for us to see in the passage that when the miracle was performed, Peter did two things. One, he made sure that people knew that it was nothing that him or John did in their own power or holiness. Two, he used it as an opportunity to point people to Jesus Christ. And so they had an opportunity to know Jesus Christ personally, to repent and be and have their sins forgiven and blotted out. And that's what we must do. We have to be careful when the miracle occurs in us, with us, through us. We have to be very careful to, especially if we're operating in the miracle. That means we're the one doing the miracle. We're the one that the Lord is doing the miracle through. We have to be very careful not to allow it, one, as I stated, to get to our head. So we look at it as though we're doing things in our own power or in our own holiness. Like, yeah. Two, we have to make sure we're using it as an opportunity to tell people, like, this is Jesus who did this. This is Jesus who loves you. This is Jesus who wants a relationship with you. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right? If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So I'm talking about if you're talking to non-believers. And then if even believers, I mean, do you need to rededicate your life to Jesus? I mean, there are many believers that are not in right relationship with the Lord. Excuse me, or are in sin. So it's an opportunity to repent and rededicate their lives to Jesus Christ. So let's not be deceived thinking that everybody in the church is going to heaven. Oh, okay. I feel like, yeah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. That's another assignment and another statement for another day. But I will say this again, because I felt this is really impressed upon my spirit. God is so good, because I'm excited about what he wants to do, but it's almost as if God is preparing our minds so that we understand that when he does, those of us who are walking in the miraculous and desire to walk in the miraculous and the Lord is going to use in the miraculous, those of us who have that faith and desire, I feel like he's preparing us for that season and the season I believe we're getting ready to step into or are stepping into. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But he is making sure that we understand some few foundational things as it relates to miracles, as it relates to what God's going to do through us and how we should respond and how we should steward the gift of miracles well, how we should steward the gift of healing well, how we should steward the anointing that we've been given well, how we should steward the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost that we've been given. Well, so as to not try to get any glory for ourselves or to boast in ourselves, but to always point people to Jesus Christ. Because this is one thing about the Lord, is that he can heal the physical, but Jesus desires to heal the spiritual. He desires to save a soul. So he desires to heal holistically. So when I say holistically, I mean my body and soul, because it would be remiss of us to want someone to be healed physically, but then their soul is not saved. See, the Lord wants to see the soul saved first. Okay. He wants to see the soul saved. And then he can also heal the physical. He can also heal the mind. Glory to God. He can also deliver them from depression and other bondages that we are often people are in. We have, and I mean, the Lord has had to deliver me from some things. Deliverance is real. Healing is real. I've seen God do miracles in my mom before he took her in the last few months, before he took her in January. I saw him. He spared her life about 10 years ago. He spared her. He literally, my aunt laid hands on her. Oh, this is how I know that God is amazing. My aunt laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. And she was on life support. They were ready to pull the plug on her. She was not, her organs shut down. She was done. My aunt laid hands on my mom 10 years ago. He gave my mom a second and third chance. She laid hands on her. She began breathing. The next morning, the doctors called and said it was a miracle. They said, don't tell me about the Lord. The doctors and all their degrees and all their scientific medical wisdom, they said it was a miracle. And I wasn't saved then. So I look back and I say, wow, Lord. Wow, wow, wow. My aunt is just a faithful servant and minister and pastor of the Lord. Is nothing unique about her. God is no respecter of persons. She just operates by faith, and she is so sensitive and obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. She does what he says do. She goes where he says go. And she laid hands on my mom by faith in the name of the Holy Spirit. And my mom came back. He brought my mom back to life. Do not tell me that the Lord can't work a miracle through his people. Do not tell me that the Lord does not want to work miracles in the lives of our loved ones, in the lives of our colleagues. Do not tell me that the Lord is not the same God who parts seas, Rabba Shikiando, who withholds the rain. Oh my gosh, who rains down manna from the heaven. Oh, do not tell me this is not the same God, right? Jesus in his flesh in the New Testament, who walked around casting out demons and healing the multitude, giving sight to the blind. He is the same God. Oh my goodness. So I'm going to stop there. I'm not going to go through the last six verses, but essentially the last six verses are Peter continuing in his message. He's continuing in his second sermon. He's still preaching. Peter gets filled with the Holy Ghost, and Peter just begins to boldly preach. Every opportunity he gets, he preaches repentance. He preaches repentance, and people are saved. And that's what happens when we preach the whole truth, so nothing but the truth. I'm talking about preaching the unadulterated gospel. We see some people, everybody's not going to receive it, but people do get saved. That is why it is a call for us as teachers and ministers and preachers and pastors to preach the gospel. That's it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't try to preach something that's going to be a diluted version of the gospel, because you feel like, well, the gospel message is too harsh. And I mean, preach the word of God, preach the truth. It's the truth that's going to really be cemented in the heart of the people. It's only the truth, God's word, the message of the cross that sets people free. Otherwise, people are walking around in church and they are bound up because they are not really saved. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. And at some point, we have to talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I have to seek the Lord about a study on that. And I'll have to see, I want to see if I can partner with my spiritual father on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I leave us with this. Let us pray and seek the Lord about new levels of faith. God, increase my level of faith. Even if you don't desire to operate in the miraculous, right? That might not be your desire, but yet and still, you should still see God doing miracles in your life. Right? Even if you don't want the Lord to do miracles through you, each and every one of us should see the mighty hand and power of God working and demonstrated in our lives. And if we are not seeing that, it could be a number of things that are preventing God from moving in our lives. It could be disobedience. It could be rebellion. It could be we're living in sin. Sin. Can I just tell you, I can tell you from experience, I shared my testimony five plus years ago. I was in a fornicating relationship. Sin hinders God from moving fully in your life. I know that to be true because when he pulled me out of the fornicating relationship, I surrendered to him a couple months later. I never looked back. The yoke and bondage of sin was never put around my neck anymore. And that was four years ago. And I was never the same. God began to open door after door of opportunity. He gave me this women's ministry, right? But he wasn't giving me that women's ministry in sin. I wasn't birthing anything in sin. So I didn't birth it in sin, right? And so God is just, he's so good. He's so gracious and he's so merciful. 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 So I just close out with this. Let's just seek the Lord. Let's seek the Lord for new levels of faith. Let's ask the Lord to do the miraculous in our life. Those of us who want to want the Lord to do miraculous through us, let's ask the Lord to do the miraculous through us. Let's ask the Lord to purge us and purify us of anything that would hinder his power from flowing through us. Let's ask the Lord to purge and purify us of anything that would hinder us from seeing the full manifestation and demonstration of his power working through our life, working through our family's life, working through our marriage, working through our children, right? That's my constant fervent prayer. Purge me, purify me, God. Please help me to have clean hands and a pure heart. Please, please, please. And I only want to do it for your glory. So again, I say, we don't have a name. We don't have a face. We want to point people to Jesus. We want to preach the cross to those of us who are called to preach and teach, right? And those of us who are called to proclaim God's goodness and proclaim the gospel, let's do it with boldness. Let's be unashamed. Let's ask the Lord to give us fervency. Let's ask the Lord to grant his servants boldness so that we may speak his word. Let's ask the Lord to take us to deeper levels of consecration. Let's ask the Lord to take us to a deeper level of intimacy with him. I mean, let's really go all in and go all out for the Lord. He's worth it. He's worth it. He's worthy. He's worth it. So I thank the Lord for this time. I thank the Lord for the revelation that he has given me. I thank the Lord that we are all growing together as sisters. Like, I just bless God for just all he has done. All he has done for me. All he has done for me. All he has done for me. All he's done for me. And I bless God for this ministry. Four years, this ministry has been going, and God is good. And so we are looking at 2024 prayer retreat. So more to come on that as the Lord kind of unfolds and reveals and confirms. So really seeking the Lord about the timing of that and just getting confirmation on the location of that. And so, yeah, God is good, ladies. So, all right. I love you all. And let us just pray. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Huh? Yeah, oh, I'm just so, there's something that's bubbling up inside of me, God, even though the enemy's been attacking my body in the physical, there's something that continues to bubble up inside of me about what you're doing in this hour, in this time, in our families, in the community, in the nation, God, I just pray, God, even that there would just be mass deliverance, God, that there would be like the multitude that will be crying out to you, God, in the grocery store, in the Walmart, God, let it be so that the Holy Spirit would hijack these places that we go day to day, right? Like we do these things on a day-to-day basis, but God, let it be so, oh my goodness, that revival would break out in malls. Woo! My God, that revival would break out in malls, that revival would break out at award shows. God, I pray you would get a hold of Hollywood. God, do miracles, 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 miracles through your people, God. Save the people of Hollywood. Deliver them, God. Please divinely intervene, God. I pray, God, that you would dismantle every altar and every high place, my God, that has been established by the people there in Hollywood. Burn away every false God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you would strip away, God, whatever you need to do to bring anyone to their knees, God, that they would cry out, what must I do in order to be saved? God, I thank you. Do a mighty work in us, God, in your children, in your daughters, God, in our families, in our marriages, in our finances, on the job, God. We pray for uncommon favor, God. We pray for grace. We pray for grace, 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 added measure of grace in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for this ministry, God. I continue to lay it at the altar, God. Whatever you want to do through it, whatever you want to do with us, God, we say yes. We say yes, God. We say yes, God. So we thank you. We love you, Lord. We honor you, God. I just love you, God. Love you, love you, love you, God. I just bless you, bless you, bless you, God. So God, we worship you. We adore you. It is in your matchless mighty name that we pray. Amen and amen. All right, ladies, have a blessed one. We'll talk about the September, October, November, and December series soon, or excuse me, Bible study soon. All right. Love you all. Have a good night.